Let's open our Bibles this evening to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, and beginning in verse 19, we want to read the words of our Lord. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. These words of the Lord Jesus Christ here are very important, and there are so many blessed truths that we could bring out from these words. But tonight, I want to concentrate, I want to focus mainly on what we may learn from the words which speak to us about Lazarus. And the title of the message is Lazarus Carried Home. What we see here about Lazarus. I have four headings to the message. First, being a child of God does not mean a life exempt from trouble. That's the first thing I would like for all of us to remember, that being a child of God does not mean a life exempt from trouble. I don't think any of us here tonight can doubt that Lazarus was a child of God. Now, he was not a child of God because he was materially poor, that's for sure. At the same time, because he was materially poor, didn't mean that he wasn't a child of God. Lazarus, like every child of God, was a child of God because God loved him. God loved him eternally and chose him in Christ. He was a child of God because of his surety, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who had come and paid this man's debt of sin. He was a child of God because he was accepted in the beloved. And that's the only way any of us tonight will be accepted with God or by God, is that is in the beloved, in Christ, in the Son of God's love, the Lord Jesus Christ. In him we are accepted. But outside him, there is no acceptance. At some point, We're not told when. That's not the main issue or lesson from these words of the Lord. But at some point, Lazarus had experienced the regenerating grace of God. Because you know the Lord Jesus Christ said there's no exceptions. There's no exceptions. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, our Lord said, Abraham saw my day, and he rejoiced. Abraham, thousands of years before the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, trusted in him, he who was promised to be his seed. Abraham saw his day. This man, because our Lord is telling these words, or speaking these words, rather, and obviously Lazarus had already died when our Lord tells this about Lazarus and this rich man. But he too saw the promised Messiah. As everyone who was saved in that old dispensation, that is before the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross, that old dispensation, remember when he died, the veil in the temple was rent, showing that the way into the most holiness of God was opened up. It was opened up to us or through the death of Jesus Christ. Everyone who lived in that old dispensation who were saved, they were saved in the same way that we're saved, only they looked forward to the coming one. He had not yet come, but he was the only Savior, the Lamb of God, and we look back to him who has come. Now, Lazarus, from what we're told here, he didn't have an easy life. He didn't have an easy life. That's the point I'm making here. First of all, being a child of God does not mean a life exempt from trouble. And that flies in the face of this prosperity gospel that has been preached in our country for the last 50 years. That is always God's will for his children to be healthy and to be wealthy. Well, here's a man who was loved of God, saved by the blood of Christ, and he was a beggar. He was a beggar. And he was laid every day at this rich man's gate, hoping that he might receive some crumbs that would fall from this man's table. Now, it's very important. Don't miss this. You know this, but I've got to emphasize this. You know, there was that theology that came out of South America about 25 years ago that taught just because a person was poor that they were children of God. That's just not true. Salvation doesn't come by being materially poor. It doesn't come by being materially rich. Salvation comes through Christ and Christ alone. But this man, he didn't have an easy life. He was laid at the rich man's gates full of sores. But now listen. Listen to me. He did not have an easy life. That's easy to say. But who is to say that he didn't have a blessed life? Now let that soak in. Who is to say that this man did not have a blessed life? That God Almighty, God the Holy Spirit, didn't visit him many times when he was laying outside that rich man's gate and fill him with joy and peace and believing in Christ and knowing that Christ was his and he was Christ. You know, God can do that. Amen. Amen? Amen? God can do that. Some of you have experienced that. Some who watch this telecast tonight or this streaming service tonight, you've experienced this. And we've all read testimonies of how God could turn a dungeon into a castle. He's done it. And who's to say that Lazarus did not experience the blessings of life every day? You see, we've got, whether we want to or not, we've bought into this idea that blessings have to do with just material things. Well, blessings, spiritual blessings, are worth a whole lot more than material blessings can ever be. And many of God's people have been blessed abundantly. And who's to say that Lazarus was not blessed, even though he was a beggar, and even though the dogs came and licked his sores? Who's to say that he was not experiencing the love of God, the peace of God, the company of God as he was laying there? And again, how many people have laid on a sick bed for years, and yet they've experienced the blessing of God, the peace of God, the presence of God? And there's nothing that can compare with the presence of God in the heart of one of his children. Nothing can compare with that. Oh, his gracious presence can turn a hell into a heaven. Many of God's children have experienced that. We've read the testimonies of many. And who's to say the truth? That's not the truth about this man. But my point is that being a child of God does not, never has, exempt a person from living a difficult life, having a difficult time in this world. The second point is the ministry of angels. You know, the apostle in Hebrews 1 and verse 14 said, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" The scripture, our Lord says that when Lazarus died, that he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, the ministry of angels. Now, I doubt that the day that Lazarus died was the first time that angels had ministered unto him. You know, how many times have we read stories, factuals, of deathbed experiences of God's saints when they're just right on that edge of going into eternity, and people in the room with them, and they say they can see angels? Now, the people with them can't see them, but angels minister unto God's children. We can't see them. I doubt that any of us here tonight who know the Lord as our Savior, we've experienced angels ministering to us. Maybe some close call when death was certain, and yet somehow we were delivered. Remember, the scripture says, "He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." I know that refers especially to the Lord Jesus Christ, but not exclusively to him. You read that Psalm 91, and you see that speaking to believers, to God's children. Yes. And our Lord Jesus said this, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones." And we think of children, and maybe that was exactly, but not only those, but these little ones that believe on me. "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." Now this day, the day when Lazarus died, no doubt these angels were hovering over him while his spirit was breaking loose. while his spirit, his soul was being delivered from that tabernacle, that tent in which he had lived, in which he had been laid there at the gates of that rich man. He's carried, our Lord said he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The moment came when they escorted him, that chariot of fire in which Elijah was taken up into heaven. What is that speaking about? These angels, ministering spirits, spirits of fire. Yes, when the time came, I put this in my notes, then the moment came when away up into glory went Lazarus' spirit into the bosom of Abraham. What a thing, into the presence of God. That's what death is for a believer, isn't it? It's being taken to be with our Lord, to taken into his presence. When I think about Lazarus, I want to mention this. He didn't have an easy life. That's for sure. But I want you to look at this verse in Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 9. Isaiah 63 and verse 9, we read, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. Huh? In all of his affliction, Lazarus, he, the Lord God, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. And he bare them and carried them all the days of old. The ministry of angels. Yes, this man was a child of God. He didn't have an easy life, but in his affliction, the Lord was with him. That's his promise, isn't it? He will never leave us nor forsake us. And then these angels, they ministered to him. They're God's angels, of course, the holy angels. They ministered to Lazarus and carrying him into the bosom of Abraham. And that brings me to my third point. The bosom of Abraham, what does that mean? Well, that's the way the Jewish people spoke about heaven. In other words, to be blessed, and when a person left this life, he would go to be with Abraham. He would go to where Abraham is. We refer to this, of course, as heaven. But in Matthew chapter 8, the scripture says he marveled at the faith of this Gentile man. And then he said this, I say unto you that many will come from the east and from the west. Now, in other words, here's Israel, God's chosen people, how they'd been blessed through the ages. But our Lord said to the Jews, many are going to come from the east and the west, speaking of Gentiles. They're going to come from the east and the west, from the north and from the south as well. But here's my point. They're going to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay? Where is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Well, our Lord went on to say, they will sit down, all of the elect, all of the chosen, saved, redeemed people of God will all sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom of heaven. That's where this man, Lazarus, was taken. He was taken to heaven, taken to the bosom of Abraham. I want you to look back in the Old Testament, Genesis 25, just a moment. We have an expression here in Genesis 25 that is given for the first time in the scripture. We see it several times later. but it concerns the death of Abraham. Genesis 25 and verse 8. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man, full of years, and here's the expression, and was gathered to his people. Gathered to his people. Now, who was already there when Abraham died? He's the father of the nation of Israel. The nation began with Abraham. Who was already there? Well, Abel was there. He was gathered to his people. Noah was there. Enoch was there. His wife Sarah was there. We know that. Many others, I'm sure, as well. But the point is, he was gathered to his people. And when Lazarus died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom, he too was gathered to his people. Now you say, well, who are our people? Who is our people tonight? That's where I want to be gathered, don't you? To my people. Who are my people? I'm not talking about my ancestors. You study that and see your ancestors all the way back. I don't know about those people. This is my people right here. God's people. People who love God. People who worship God. That's the people I want to be gathered to, right? People I've worshiped with here in this world. And men I've heard preach the gospel. And Christ mainly. Yes, Abraham was gathered unto his people. And so was Lazarus. He was gathered. He was carried into Abraham's bosom. Gathered unto his people. Now, here's my last point. Fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. Lazarus was now in the presence of God, in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to what we read in Psalm 16. And these are the words of the Lord, actually, the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Lazarus, he's now entered in to the joy of the Lord. Fullness of joy. He's entered in to where sin cannot molest, sickness cannot come, sorrow, parting, tears, all of those things are outside. He's now gathered to his people, to Abraham's bosom. Now for Lazarus was fulfilled the scripture. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy shall be upon their head, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. And I can just, in my mind, imagine Lazarus as he was carried there into heaven, into that realm where there's fullness of joy. There are three sources of joy that would come to Lazarus and will come to you and to me if we're God's children tonight and we're carried home, carried into Abraham's bosom. First, looking over the way. I can just think of Lazarus. I want to think, concentrate or focus in on him, because you can't get away from the fact that was a hard life, a beggar, sick, dogs licking your sores. And now he's suddenly in the presence of Christ where there's fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. Number one, Lazarus looking over the way he had come would cause him great joy. Now he sees that his earthly trials, his afflictions, his sorrows, his tears were all ended. all ended. And he had known some, hadn't he? But they're all over now. They're all ended now. He's safe on heaven's shore. And now, all the dark providences that he experienced on his journey as he walked through this world, they're all made clear. He can now see how that all things, yes, even being a beggar, and yes, even laying outside that rich man's gate, how that all things work together for his good. He's now reached the hereafter. Remember, our Lord told his disciples, he said that, "What I do now, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." And Lazarus, and just put yourself in this place, but Lazarus contemplating the past, he's filled with joy in knowing and seeing how that he hath done all things well. All things. Every pain, every tear, every sorrow that he had known, it's all past. And he sees how that all these things, and there was joy too. There was joy, no doubt. How all these things had worked together for his good. Amen. And he's home. He's home. He's safe in the bosom of Abraham. And then second, not only looking at the past, but looking at his present condition would fill him with joy. Seeing Jesus, his Savior, the one who loved him and gave himself for him in all his glory. Oh, yes. He had lived a life of poverty himself, the Lord Jesus. But now he's there in his glory. And that would fill the heart, that would fill the soul of Lazarus with such joy. Unimaginable joy would come into his heart, seeing his Savior lifted up so high and honored as he is there in heaven. All of heaven singing his praises and blessing his name. And think about this fact. You love Christ tonight if you're one of his. You've never seen him. You've never seen him. Oh, you've seen him with the eye of faith, but you've never seen him with these physical eyes, have you? But you love him. Well, think of what it will be when you do see him. When you do look upon him. The joy that will fill your heart. Can you imagine what the happiness and joy will be when we do see him? You know, he told his disciples the night before his crucifixion these words. He said, "You now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." And then third, looking to the future, knowing that this joy shall never end. Shall never end. It shall never subside. This fact caused one man to write these words: "This is the crowning glory of the whole. The anticipation of the future will afford the saint present happiness. And as he sails over the boundless ocean, he will rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Amen. May the Lord bless his word to all of us here tonight. And my, who wouldn't want to know Christ and have such a wonderful hope, wonderful expectation? Maybe you're here tonight and you don't have that hope. You don't have that expectation. Look to Christ. Trust in him alone. And then one day when your life is ended here in this world, you too will be there where Lazarus is, where there's fullness of joy and at his right hand pleasures forever.